Exploring the importance of having the right skills to succeed, this is Skillfully Speaking, supported by Babcock International, presented by Skills Ambassador Jackie Grubb.
Welcome to Skillfully Speaking. I'm Jackie Grubb, and I am more than pleased to be joined today by a remarkable young man. He started his first business when he was 11. He's the founder of an employee engagement platform, and he's been described as the smartest kid on the planet by The Times and one of the UK's most exciting entrepreneurs by Sir Richard Branson. Hi, Ben Towers.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks.
Well, first of all, Ben, I just want to ask you, what did it feel like having those words described about you by Sir Richard Branson?
So Richard's an amazing guy, someone who, from a really young age, I always looked up to in business as an entrepreneur. Yeah, so then having the opportunity to work with him, mentor me, and obviously, you know, say those words about me. I think it's a weird one because it's not why I do business. I'm not doing it because of that, but it's such a big pat on the back. And I think running a company can be quite lonely at times because you are on your own. You're the only person doing it. And so having someone who you really look up to get say, you know what, that's great, is the best feeling ever.
Yeah. So I'm sat here trying to imagine you, Ben Towers, at the age of 11. What was going on in your mind and what was going on to make you even be this person?
And I actually think my answer comes back to the name of the show as well. You know, I think the skills and the thing that's really important from a really young age and reflection that I've always had was I've always gone, why? Everything in my whole life, I've always questioned why. And sometimes that absolutely annoyed my parents loads, sometimes annoyed my teachers. But in reality, that was just always how I thought. And so when I was 11, I remember I was looking at computers and I got to give my first one for my granddad. It was a really, really old one. I was playing with it and I was like, why? Or how does that work? Or why this and why that? And that basically got me excited into the space. And then I then started to, you know, go into secondary school and I was starting to then think, actually, can I build a website? Can I give it a go? And I started to build websites in my bedroom just out of curiosity. There was no thought of business. There was no thought of anything financial. It was purely this idea that, you know, this is fun. Why can't I? And then over time, you know, that then became the company. And on reflection now, I actually think that's the best way to start a business, to do something you're genuinely passionate about and you enjoy. And then the money will follow.
So you were described as the smartest kid on the planet from The Times. So at that time, did you think you were the smartest kid on the planet?
No, definitely not. I mean, look, I love learning and it's something that I've done, but I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a big academic or anything like that at all. And it was a funny one because there was a whole judging process that I never knew about. So I didn't know any of this was going on until actually my friend WhatsApped me a photo and went, oh, well done. I was like, well done on what? And then I suddenly got sent this photo. They released, you know, the top 10 list and number one. And yeah, I think the smartest thing in reality, you know, it comes down to asking the right questions and being that person. Again, it was one of those like, wow moments of, oh my word, I never expected that. And you know, something, you know, my mum now tells with her family and it's like, you know, a big thing for her. But yeah, in reality, for me, it's like what makes you smart, I think, is the questions you ask and the, you know, people you're around and so on. And that I almost see it as more of a compliment on that.
Mm. So you just brought in your mum just there, didn't you? So what did your parents say to you in the first instance?
Yes, yeah, so both my mum and my dad, neither of them in business at all. My mum works for the NHS, my dad's a CAD designer. So both of them really, you know, skillful in their own rights. But when it comes to the world that I'm in, business and that side of things, it's not the area of expertise at all. So then there's then like that fear and dynamic from them of going, we can't help you, but also maybe they don't know what you're doing all the time because it's not a world we're used to. But what they were really, really good at is just giving me this free space to sort of say, learn, go and try things out, go and give things a go. And I think for me, that is actually what enabled me to, you know, start a company at such a young age, be able to eventually exit that when I was 18. And it's because of this idea that I was given that freedom and that trust to say, you can do it. You're going to make mistakes, but make them. And I think when you're so young, it's the best time to do that because you have often that secure blanket of maybe you're still in education, so you've got people around you supporting you there, or you're still living at home or with parents or guardians and supporters. So, you know, you've often got a nice situation where you can make some of those riskier things and have a go and have that security. Maybe you haven't got kids or you haven't got a mortgage yet to sort of have those fears.
Mm. And are they concerned at all?
Yeah, at times they were, but also other times, like when you'd see Richard Branson's article and things from the Times and so on, they'd be like, oh, actually, you know what? That's really cool. And I remember even now when I'm saying, oh, I'm going to employ someone else into the company, my mum will always go, oh, but can you afford them? Can you do this? Can you do that? Like, yeah, we can. And so, yeah, they're always concerned about that. And I think actually they're often more concerned about my well-being mm-hmm. and actually more concerned about me, which I think is the best place to have, you know, your parents focused on. Because for them, they're more like, look, and you've worked a long day. Maybe you're overworking and doing this. How are you looking after you? So to have your parent to question what you're doing for you, I think is really important.
So they really had your back in terms of health and well-being and supporting you, but at the same time, giving you the space to just develop and evolve. And there is a lot out there talking about there should be more enterprise, there should be more entrepreneurial skills. So if I just take you back to the age of 11, what would be your advice at the age of 11 to, say, 16 to begin with?
My best piece of advice would be just do it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because I've had opportunities to meet other young people my age and, you know, chat to people about, I want to start a company. And often the first thing they go is, I want to start a company, but I don't know what. And I'm like, doesn't matter. Just find something and learn, do it. If it's car washing, I don't care what it is, but just start it and get it going, because you're going to learn so much. I'm not going to say it's a regret, because, you know, I did start really young. But one of the things I look back on is I go, you know what? Could I have started younger? Could I have done more? And I think it's more just this idea about the learning part is the main part. If you start a company at a young age to go, it's going to become the next Google. Yes, that's a good motivation. It's a good, you know, maybe focus to have. But you also need to realize that you're going to learn. If you start thinking you are, you know, the next Richard Branson right now, then the company won't work. You need to come at it to go, I want to get there, but I'm going to learn along the way. And I think that's almost the skill of entrepreneurship, is to be able to hit problems, overcome them, and then keep going.
So that lifelong learning is really important, isn't it? So you've talked already then about that first part from 11 up to 16 or 18. But then when you were 18, you exited this really successful company. And this company has some absolutely major brands in there. So why did you exit it?
From age of 16, I got really heavily involved in the company, where I was basically full time. I actually did an apprenticeship in my own business. And I'll highlight that because I think that's a good example of entrepreneurial thinking and reflection. So I had this challenge when I was 16 that was, look, you have to be in education until you're 18. But I was like, I want to run this company. I'd proven that at this point we had a couple of employees, we had some good clients. I was like, I've proven that. So how can I grow this? So then I looked at it and ended up employing myself as an apprentice, because I went, here's the challenge. How do I get around it? I'm still in education, but I'm also in the company. And then what it meant for those 2 years is we grew rapidly. We did more and more marketing, a lot of social media marketing, a lot of influencer stuff. So paying YouTubers and TikTokers and so on to post about brands, work with people like Unilever, the UK government, you know, some really big names. And then, if I'm honest, I got to a point where I was like, I want to build something. And when you're in the marketing space, you never really build it. A client comes to you and says, we want to launch this flavor of pot noodle. We want to help people drive safer on the roads. And you do that. And then you realize that actually you're not almost building a product. And for me, I've loved the idea of building a product. So I then said, look, I think it's time to think about what's next. So I ended up actually merging it with another agency and then setting up and leaving after that. And that company is now still going and they still do the marketing and so on. And actually at the same time, I started to do some other quite cool roles. So I became quite a heavy advisor at the Royal Family, at the UK government. I was doing, I did a show on kids TV called Pocket Money Pitch. That's basically in blunt term, kids Dragon's Den. And I was a dragon on that. And so I was doing these other things. And I think then my mind was like, actually, I want to have a period of exploring that and enjoying that and then start something new afterwards.
So as we go through life, the knockbacks and the failures come to us all, don't they? So can you talk about some of what you failed with and how you overcome those failures? Because we all learn by those, don't we?
So for me, day-to-day and running the company and that sort of in the moment of running the business and so on, I'm really good at sort of putting on that strong face, keeping things going, you know, we really keep momentum going. And then reality often hits when you get home and you're like, for example, my new company, we're investment backed. So we have investors who have funded the company, you know, quite a few million, and they've put money into that. And so the challenge then linked to that is there's then that fear of, okay, you need to get more investment. Are you fulfilling the KPIs and the goals. And there's a lot of, you know, pressure put on you for that. So yeah, there are times when, you know, you want to go to bed and you have sweats and you'll be thinking about things and you can't sleep and you wake up in the night. And that's definitely the untold of part of entrepreneurship, running a company, or even in leadership, actually. You know, it's not just not unique to running a company. That's often, if I'm honest, the part which we don't prepare people for enough, how to go through that. And we almost say, oh no, you won't get to that. But in reality, you do if you're in that position. And so that's very hard. But then the reason why I've said that linked to failures is because I think I've always had a fear of failure because of this idea that if you fail, you're not good enough. And one of the things we're really fortunate is, as part of this new company, we've got a lot of US investors have been out there a lot, San Francisco. And what I've always been inspired by is their view on the word failure. They may just see it as a chapter or a section on your CV. They don't see it as anything bigger than that. I think in the UK, we see it as like, oh, so it didn't work. Mm. Oh, okay. Whereas in the US, they're like, oh, that's cool. So what did you do next? And they just think about, okay, what did you do? And so that's really changed my perspective on it. Some, you know, maybe some key failures that I've done throughout the years. So, yeah, there are times where we'd win contracts and then we wouldn't be able to fulfill it because I was just so focused on sell, win this big contract, get it in, and then we couldn't ever do it. And then we ended up losing that contract and it had to sort out this big messy situation between the potential customer and us, and we didn't have the employees to do it. So there are things like that and they'd be really tough. But so far, I haven't had any sort of like major where companies haven't worked per se, but you get lots of smaller things that do get to you.
Mm. So what are your top tips or what's your advice to young people that keep feeling like they're having their confidence broken, keep feeling like they're not resilient enough in this world? What would you say to those?
I think that we put too much pressure on ourselves. And the reason why I say that is I believe social media is probably the biggest cause of that. You open up your phone every morning, you're in bed, you start scrolling and you're seeing the best of everyone's life. You're seeing them doing this, driving nice cars and nice holidays, doing these crazy things. What you're not seeing is the fact that before getting that nice car, they had to get up at 7 a.m. every day, do loads of hours of work, put in all this extra stuff. And you don't see any of that. And so my best piece of advice would be, actually, there's this diagram, but basically it shows you when different entrepreneurs started their companies. Mm. And you know, some of the best tech companies we know of day to day, that entrepreneurs were 40, 50, 60 years old. You don't have to be 18, 19, 20 to start a company. Yes, you can do it. I'm not putting you off it. But what I'm trying to say is don't put so much pressure to do it right now. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, for the next couple of years, I just want to learn about this space because it's an area I'm passionate about. I want to get a job there. I want to just focus on me. And so I think, yeah, that's the best piece of advice I would say is do not put an unhealthy amount of pressure on yourself. I did that to myself. And it's the biggest regret I've probably ever done to me. I kept saying to myself, do more. And then on reflection, I'd be like, but actually you've already done so much, but you just kept thinking it wasn't good enough. In reality, you can look at the situation and go, there is no rush. You can take your time. You can do it properly.
And that's a really good point, actually, isn't it? Because there's too much focus on, I want that car, I want that house, I'm going to be happy when I get that holiday. But actually living in the moment and enjoying the journey of wherever that destination is, whether you even arrive at that destination, you know, what is your advice around that? Because I think there are so many people now that, like you've just said, instantly think that within a matter of amount of weeks, they can get the car, they can get the house. But actually, it's not all about that, is it?
Yeah, I think everyone's got different goals. For me, I'm not a very material person at all. My goals have never been, I want to own this car, I want to own this house, or anything like that. I think, to be quite honest with you, my life goal, anything I do, has been, I want to be able to go out for dinner and drinks with my friends and maybe not have to worry financially or not have to worry too much. I'm not saying like go to lavish, crazy places, but that's been like my life goal. I want to have a lifestyle where I can do that and maybe treat them time to time and so on. So for me, the key thing is about having a goal that genuinely resonates with you. And it's not something just material, but something that genuinely you would love to get to. And I think then it's about saying, okay, how do you get there? And what's the steps? If it is, to be quite blunt, buying a house, buying a nice car, often entrepreneurship isn't the quickest way to do it. If you actually look in the UK, the average salary or hourly wage of an entrepreneur is below minimum wage. And that's because the amount of hours you're putting in. And yes, you get some as you grow quickly and you get more, but there's a vast amount of self-employed people who put in a lot of time and effort and, you know, aren't earning as much. So the reason why I say that is because you need to think about what motivates you. If it is purely financial, then you need to think about how you're ever going to fulfill that. But for me, what motivates me is this idea of being able to have that freedom. I love the fact that I can wake up running a company and I'm in control of the day. I can, you know, do a challenge, solve problems. And that's what excites me. And that's why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm. So can we talk a little bit about how you keep yourself safe? Because it's a big, wide world out there, isn't there? So if I can take you back to the age of 11, and obviously you talked about your parents, didn't you, keeping you safe, keeping you healthy, and making sure that your well-being was put first. But through your journey, what have you put in place to keep yourself safe? We've talked about social media, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which absolutely has its place. But let's talk a little bit about that.
Definitely. So I remember when I was really young and I had my first meeting in London, my mum came to London with me and she was actually at a coffee shop down the road and I was in this meeting and she's just waiting for me to finish and so on. And so, like, I think we live in a world where it's really unfortunate how unsafe things have become to a certain point. I mean, you have to be really mindful of that. From an online perspective, there are so much fraudulent things going on online and crazy activities and things like that. I'm forever seeing on social media these like get rich quick, become a coach, come and do this, post these videos on driving these cars and I'm going to help you get to six-figure customers doing these five things. And that's like the fraudulent safe is about, I would just keep clear of all of that and focus on, you want to start a company, what is it you want to do and do that. Don't get lost into this online world, which in reality is full of sharks and full of people who are, you know, are going to just try and take your money and give you nothing in return. So the thing about when you're running a business or even just in life is everyone's got intentions and everyone's got normally a different intention to what you have coming to any conversation. So the other thing that I'm always really cautious of is, why does that person want to meet me? What's in it for them? And what value both going to bring? And if you're not fully sure, ask them. And I'll say, sure, I'm happy to meet you for coffee, but what do you want to discuss? And if the answer is a bit vague, I often go, look, I'm not interested in a meeting, partly because I want to preserve my time, but also partly from a safety point of view, you don't know what they're thinking or their intentions or anything. So I've always had that from a really young age. And that has enabled me. My mum and dad gave me so much trust at a young age to travel. I mean, I'm really fortunate to speak at a lot of events around the world. And I've been to like Colombia on my own, what could be quite an, you know, unsafe place, and doing a talk and things like that. And that's only come because over time they saw that my mindset has always been, you need to protect you. If you don't protect you, then what is the company? You, when you start a company or when you do anything, it's all about, you know, you are the one kickstarting it. But when you have no team, it's you. So that's that big thing. What I do to protect myself from a well-being point of view is, I love meditation, but I can't put on my headphones and just put on a guided thing and just listen. My brain's always active. I'm always thinking of things. So what I actually do is, there's a form of meditation called a float tank. And basically it's like a salt bath and it's like a double bed in size and you close on the lid and it's pitch black and you float. And I just had to realize that for me, that was my way of just thinking. My brain's popping when I'm in there thinking of this. So I haven't sent this email, I haven't done that. But then I come out after the hour and I just feel like I've just processed all of my thoughts and got through it. And so I'm not saying that's right for everyone. But what I'm trying to say is, you need to find the thing that is for you. The other thing for me is that I play a lot of table tennis. My dad's actually a coach. So for me, I find that it's a way where you put your phone to one side and you're just in the moment. I find the bounce of the ball quite therapeutic. But also those two things, I'd say, have been what's kept me almost focused and help me have that time to relax. I would say, no matter what you do, even if it's not anything in business, no matter what you do, find the thing that is your hobby that just helps you to relax.
That is so inspiring. From a fellow yogi and somebody who meditates regularly, and to actually hear that coming from you is just absolutely fantastic. And I've been in one of those float tanks myself, so I can totally relate to that. But for you to describe that is just absolutely fantastic.
If you want to build on your skills and get yourself on the right path to success, visit the City College Plymouth website. cityplym.ac.uk. You can hook up with courses, download information packs, guides, and much more. Or find us on social media. We're Skillfully Speak on X, Skillfully Speaking Podcast on Instagram, and Skillfully Speaking on Facebook and LinkedIn. Skillfully Speaking, where hidden skills are revealed. Now back to the conversation.
If there are young people that don't have that parental support or that support that you've been talking about, have you got any top tips for them?
Yeah, I'd say there are so many communities out there as well that you can join. And just like, even for me, yes, I had the parental support from a personal point of view, but in the business world, it was basically, you know, off you go, Ben, you know, you've got to make it. And so there's a lot of networking events for entrepreneurs, there's meetups, there's things you can join and do where you build your support network. And now I'm really fortunate where I've got, I mean, many WhatsApp groups of other founders of companies who I can, if I've had a really bad day, I just WhatsApp them and go, oh, this has happened. And we can just chat about it and we just get each other because we've been through it. So you don't need to have parental support to get that. You can join those events. There's even people like the Prince's Trust who have amazing mentor programs you can go and join. And you know, I'm really fortunate to be able to, you know, work with them quite a lot. And you see that they bring together, you know, trusted people in the community who run companies or doing well in their careers and just give that mentoring. And on mentoring, I would actually say I would not be where I am today without mentoring. And the thing is about a mentor isn't a teacher. A mentor is not someone who is educating you on what to do. That's not their job. A mentor is somebody, in my sort of world of how I see them, and I see it a bit like when you go to a bowling alley and you have the barriers up on the side so your ball doesn't go into the gutter. That's what I see a mentor as a bit like. You're chucking the ball, a ball can bounce around, but the mentor is just helping you to sort of think about things to go, oh, the ball's veering a bit to the right. Is that really how you want to think about that? Or is there other ways you can approach it? And I just sort of keep the ball in alignment to then get and hit down the pins at the end. And the reason why I say that is because when I still have mentors now, and I've had some who I've known for like 10 years, some who I've known more recently as my skills develop. But the reason why I meet these mentors and meet these people on a one-to-one coffee basis is I can just say, look, I'm struggling with this. And they can go, well, have you thought about it in this way? And they need me to go and solve it. They don't solve my problems, but they just keep me aligned. So back to your question is, look, no matter who you are, you can find mentors. It is possible. There are charities who don't charge you any money. You can go onto LinkedIn and message people in, you know, the world you want to go into. If you want to get into banking, you can find bank managers and senior people at national banks who reach out to them and say, look, can I have a Zoom call with you just to discuss me getting into this space? And people will say yes. So you can do it, but you have to be the one to instigate it.
Mentoring and coaching is absolutely vital, isn't it? And I feel that everybody needs a mentor or a coach at any age. And that's a big part of lifelong learning. In terms of education and skills. So obviously our education system is that we go to school, we study towards GCSEs or vocational qualifications, then we go on to further education or university or into jobs. So there's an education and skills system that is vital because qualifications are important. Can you talk to me about that journey for you and how the entrepreneurism aligned with that?
Definitely. So look, my view on education is if you have so many people, each person's got a unique journey and pathway you're going to go on. Some are going to become actors, some are going to run their own companies, some are going to become teachers. You know, everyone's going to have different things. And so the challenge of education is how can you look after everyone? And the reality is you can't give every single person the end-to-end, this is how you go from A to B piece. And I think we're wrong to expect that from our teachers and from colleges and things like that, because everyone's going to go down a unique pathway. So what I think your job is to do as you, and again, you investing in your career, is to go, okay, my education designed to give me a really solid foundation, maybe a specialism in a few areas that I want to get into. But then your job is to then, you know, find mentors, chat to people, and to give it that push to go, okay, how do I then really learn the industry-specific things that I need to know to get into that space? And the best way you can think about it is people who want to become actors. At the weekends, they're doing like shows, they're doing workshops, they're doing a lot of things outside of education. And often we don't see that happen as much for people outside of sort of acting and the creative media space as much. But in reality, we all need to be doing it. If you want to become an entrepreneur and that's the space you want to be in, then why aren't at the weekends or in the evenings you meeting other entrepreneurs, going to these networking events and just surrounding yourself with these people? So I believe, look, education, give it your all because that is your Foundation. And I think on reflection for me, but also so many other entrepreneurs that I know have said, actually, when you are in education, it's actually a really nice period to learn things that you wouldn't normally learn, because you're not just learning what you think you need to know, you're learning a broad spectrum of things. So make the most of that. But also spend your time working on how can I get deeper and deeper into the career that I want to do.
Yeah. So Ben, remind us of your age now.
25.
So you're 25 now. So if you were looking at your younger self, what would you be telling your even younger self?
People come and go, you know, friends are there, not always there. You know, people change, people have their things, so on. So I'd say focus on building a close circle of 5 or 10 who are your champions. I'm not saying they're people in the same space as you. They're the people who you can call at 1 a.m. and say, I'm struggling to sleep because I'm stressed about this, or this is happening. And they just go, let's chat. Focus on building that. And you can do that from a really, really young age. And I'm not saying you have to keep them. Sometimes people will come in, come out, and so on. But that, for me, I would be learning. But I'd say I have now, but you know, a few years ago, didn't have. And you know, there are times where the lows are really low because you know, businesses having whatever decisions and so on. And you feel lonely because you haven't got those people around you. So yeah, that'd be my best piece of advice, I'd say, for myself. Have that almost that brick wall of people around you.
Okay. And how healthy do you feel at the age of 25, Ben?
Yeah, I think now I feel really good. I think when I was like 18, I did reach a point where I was overworking and I was doing so much. Now I think I've taken more of a focus to go, actually, look, if you overwork, you're only impacting, you know, if you end up burning out and overworking, then actually the company goes slower, so it's counterproductive and so on. So yeah, now for really healthy, I force myself to go to the gym. I try and keep really active and have time away from my laptop.
So they say now, don't they, that the gut microbiome is the second brain. So, you know, what we eat and what we have nutritionally is a big part of our health and well-being. And then at the same time, sleep is really, really important. So what's your view around those couple of things?
Definitely. Sleep is a funny one. So I know I can function on little sleep, and I know that. And I know I can do a day of calls and do my business and so on, and it's fine. But I also know that I have a duty to the company, but I also have a duty to myself and almost a level of respect to myself that I want to every day be the best me. And I know the best me requires 8-9 hours sleep. And to be quite honest, I have not met, and I'm sure someone watching this will say, I only need 4 hours. I've not met someone who can do 4 or 5 hours and genuinely be the best you. I mean, like the 100% best. You can function, but are you the best you? And so sleep for me is really important. It's an area that I always said to myself, you need to make sure you're getting those, because if you're waking up and you're yawning, then you've already started the day in that bad funk. So that's one big thing. And yeah, diet is, and I'm going to extend it, not just diet, but also some of these new lifestyle, like we get other people vaping and all these things like that. I've always kept clear of all of that. And you can try a vape and go, oh, it tastes nice. You know, you can see the novelty behind it. But I've always been a bit like, there's no value in that, really. It's not helping me. It's just not doing anything good. So I'm like, look, I want to try and eat as healthy as I can where possible. I'm not saying I eat like salads all the time, but I'm always conscious about that, because I'm like, you're fueling your energy, you're fueling who you are, and you know, you manage stress and anxiety so much better when you've got good sleep and when you've eaten and you know, you fueled yourself so much better. So yeah, I've always tried to keep clear of that, all those sort of things, because I've just said to myself, you are responsible for what you eat and what you do. And if you're doing that to yourself, then it's not healthy. Like people who wake up and have a Red Bull in the morning and crack on with their day. I'm like, and I think that's actually quite common for a lot of people in our generation, is I'm actually like, but what are you doing to yourself? Like, just get a longer night's sleep. You're not the prime minister of a country where you can't get that amount of sleep. You can do it if you make it your priority. And I think it's just down to prioritization.
Lovely. Thank you for that. So today, at the age of 25, the achievements that you've accomplished are just so inspiring. So what next then? You have got a long life ahead of you. Tell us about those next steps.
I love what I'm doing now. We're doing an employee benefits and health insurance company. We work with companies basically support their employees get access to, you know, from therapy to well-being support and things like that. I love that. And yeah, that's my 100% passion. I do that, you know, every day. We have a team, we've raised quite a few million doing that. We got into, if any of you are involved with sort of this sort of space, we did something called Y Combinator, that's like a big tech accelerator over in San Francisco, where big companies like Airbnb, Stripe, and people like that, they all got investment and went through. So look, I'm on an amazing journey doing that and I really love it. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to be doing that in 10, 15 years time. You know, it's something where, you know, I'm enjoying that, I'm growing it, but I know that there'll be other chapters in my career. And I think that's just the thing for me is I'm going to learn as I do this. And I also want to give it the best that I can and believe that I'm doing that. So yeah, that's a big thing for me. I still love, you know, being able to have the opportunity to speak at events and meet people and mentor people. It's a big area of my life because I know that I wouldn't be where I am today without that. I never forget when I was at school, there was an enterprise who are one of the big charities here in the UK for some entrepreneurship. They had an entrepreneur's day at my school and someone came in and spoke about business. And that really inspired me and gave me that realization that what I was actually doing was running a company. And so I'd say you need things like that to have that. So yeah, for me, 25 now, moving forward, growing the company, still really enjoying that, but also still doing more mentoring and supporting.
Okay. So just out of interest, when you were at primary school, so, you know, age 6, 7, what did you want to be when you grew up then?
You know what? I had loads of different things I wanted. At one stage, I was really fixed on I want to go to one of the big US, like MIT universities. And I wanted to like go there. And at one point I was doing that. I always knew I loved technology and computers. So I always knew I wanted to do something in that space. I was like, I think what else I was... I had so many different things. I'm like, oh, I could do that. I could do this. Even right now, I often think it. I'm like, oh, you know what? Wouldn't it be quite fun to be a police officer and support people in their time? And so you always think things like that. But I think I never said to myself from a young age, I want to start a company. Yeah. But what I did always find attractive was, so my granddad's a big inspiration for me. He runs like campsites and music lessons and always run companies, sells pianos and things like that up in Cumbria. And so I've always been inspired by him, how he wakes up and he's always said that he sets a metronome for the day. I'm achieving this, I'm doing that. And if I don't, there's no one to blame but me because it's my company. And that's always been really inspiring for me. So I think I was always destined to start a company, but not because of anything other than the fact that I've always been inspired by that lifestyle and that ability to have that freedom. Yeah, I think that's why I ended up in business.
Okay. So it's really clear and it's really coming through of that resilience, that brilliant communication, that aspiration. So can you talk about the metrics and the things to be really business focused and business minded to become successful? What are the metrics that have to be wrapped around all those other wonderful skills that you've talked about?
At the end of the day, cash is king when you're running a company. If you can't pay your wages, if you can't pay your bills, you haven't got a business. And I think that's the reality of the situation. And one of the things that I've come to learn if you're starting a business is don't spend too much time worrying about building a polished product. Spend time to go, how can I solve a problem that someone has right now and get paid for it? That is what it means to start a company. If you look at the best tech companies in the world, and look at their version one of their product, it was never what it is right now. It was, people are struggling to do this and we're going to do it in a really raw, dirty, like hacky way. But will people then do it? Yeah, it's not a smooth experience and go, yeah, you solved my problem. Commercially, I will pay you for that. You know, you've been rewarded. And so that's the biggest metric for me when running a company is find a problem and solve it. And if you've not got a real hard hitting problem and you're not solving it, you haven't got a business. You know, ultimately, that's the main metric. And the second thing I would say is then obviously depending on your mindset. If you're trying to grow a company, then you need to always monitor, okay, how are we growing month on month? What is helping us to grow month on month? What are the positive indicators? What are the negative indicators of that? If your idea of running a company is just to maintain it and, you know, to just be yourself, maybe a couple of others and have a lifestyle that you want, then it's to go, okay, what do I need to do to make sure I'm maintaining that? How much do I need to sell each month to make sure I'm hitting this maintenance goal of mine? So I think it's that realization of going, where do I want this to be and what do I need to do that?
So there are lots of young people looking at you, Ben, and contemplating, thinking, gosh, I want to be just like that. And I know that you've touched on it a little bit already, but what would you say to those people?
I would say two things. One is, and I used to do this, but now I have to make sure I don't, never ever look at someone and say, I want to be like them. I think that's such a bad mindset. And people do it all the time. And I think it's such a bad mindset to have. I used to do people like Richard Branson. I would love to be like him. But in reality, no, on reflection, I love the success that he's had and the influence he's had on society and the business that he's built. And that's the part I love. I'm not saying I want to be him. I think you have to get yourself in that mindset to go, but you are you. You're really unique. Everyone's unique. Everyone's got their skills and their blend of who they are, which is unique to you. So use that and don't try and be someone else. Be you and be that. Maybe you can get inspiration from other people. I think that for me is like one, I think, key element of that. The other big thing I would say is go out and actually do it and give it a go. And entrepreneurial skills, I want to really highlight, is you don't have to be an entrepreneur to be entrepreneurial. You can work at a company and to be entrepreneurial. For me, if I were to define an entrepreneur, it's a problem comes, I get to that problem, and do I look at that problem and go, oh, not possible, and go backwards? Or do I look at that problem and go, how do I get around it to then carry on? That for me is entrepreneurial thinking, and that can be applied to working at a big bank. It can be applied if you're running your own company.
So I want to talk a little bit now then in our last 5 minutes in terms of there is such a pressure on perfectionism and there's nothing perfect about the world that we live in. So again, at those people that are looking up to you and want to be like you, what would you say to them about perfectionism?
Yeah, it's actually been an area that I've struggled with personally. So when I was really younger, I was like, everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be in one place. It has to be this, has to be that. And in reality, in the business context, that can actually make your company fail. Yes, it can be good in some senses. Oh, the products you're building are so perfect and so on. And I use Apple as a great example. You know, yes, you look at it and the products are so polished and perfect in that sense. But in reality, day to day, it comes back to you start a company to solve a problem. Be ruthless about solving that problem. Don't start a company to be perfect at everything because you'll waste time organizing your desktop or organizing all these little things that don't really actually bring in money. So I think that's in the business sense, it's really important. In the general life skills setting, no one is perfect. And I think we also put an unhealthy amount of pressure on ourselves to do it. And you know, I've had friends who've gone for job interviews and they've come back on, oh, I don't think I'm going to get the job. I'm like, oh, why is that? Oh, I was stuttering a bit. I was a bit nervous. And I'm like, but no one expects you to come into a job interview and be 100% perfect in what you do. And if they expect that, then it's an unrealistic expectation of them. And so I think it comes down to building that self-confidence to go, no one's perfect, but what I am, I'm really good at these three things. And that's why I think I'm good for this role. Everyone's good at something. You've got to really unlock that and nurture it.
Ben, you're an absolute inspiration and it has just been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Skillfully Speaking is supported by Babcock International. Visit babcockinternational.com. Presented by Jackie Grubb. Produced by Paul Philpott. Production support by Lisa Hartwell. Edited and mixed by Martin Burgess-Moon. Video content by Mark Stevenson. Coordinated by Louise Greenleaf. Produced by Fresh Air Studios. Copyright City College Plymouth, all rights reserved.